Good morning. The other thing that I forgot to mention is today we celebrate Ascension Sunday, if you didn't get that out of all the readings. The day where the church comes together in remembrance of not only Jesus' resurrection, but his ascension into heaven. And this morning we are going to take a look at a text just before his ascension, where he tells us what we are to do, what our responsibility is as believers, the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sin. And because we are forgiven, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 51. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with the power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Amen. Please be seated. He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which were written about me in the book or in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Now this really tells us where Jesus says that I am the Christ, that all these things that were written about him, the suffering servant, that he must die, and even that he would be raised from the dead, and also that his gospel would be brought to the Gentiles, that he was not just a savior for the Jew, but for all mankind. And now, at that time, most of his disciples weren't even thinking in those terms, because they really couldn't understand the Scriptures. They did not have the power of the Holy Spirit. And what comes in this next verse is what has to happen to each and every one of us. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scripture. Notice what he says there. It is not us that go to the Scripture and we can automatically understand it. Many times the Scripture is studied within colleges and universities in the form of literature. And most of the time, it doesn't come out that people become believers. There's no proclamation there, and it is just a reading without the power, without the understanding. But it is through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God Himself opening the Scriptures to us, that we can understand them. Now, he can do that in numerous different ways. He can do it by someone reading the Scriptures. But it seems to indicate throughout the New Testament that it is done now by the proclamation of that word. The preaching. As Paul says, it is the foolishness of preaching that brings people to understand. And this is the hard part, because we like to think that we're pretty smart. Well, I should be able to just read it and get it. If it's supposed to be there. If this Savior is supposed to have revealed Himself there. But God works when and how He chooses. And He reveals Himself through His Word and through the proclamation, as we will see later on, of that Word. And He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." Now here again we see God's plan through Jesus Christ. This was planned from the beginning of time. Hence Jesus is called the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. God knew His plan. He even knew of our fall. Now God could have stopped everything right there. Said, "Well, I'm not making them. You know, they're just going to fall and they're going to go out and they're going to sin and they're going to do all kinds of stuff that I don't like." But God loved them. And He loved us. And He loved mankind. It would kind of be like a parent going, "Well, that's it. I'm not having any kids. Because I know what's going to happen. They're going to go out there and they're going to mess up. And they're going to disobey me. And they're going to do all kinds of things I don't like." But we still have children. And despite what those children do, we love them. And we care for them. And we hang on to them. With God, it is the same way. Except His love is much greater. Because those sins that we do against Him, which should condemn us to death, He brought His Son. And His Son went to the cross and shed His blood that would wash away our sin. This love is so much greater than we could ever have. But He didn't leave them dead. And that's the promise that we have in Easter. Because He raised them again from the dead. Or He raised Him once from the dead. But in Him He raised all of us from the dead. The race of mankind. Because we all will come to eternal life. Or actually, I need to rephrase that. We will all be raised on the last day. The race of mankind is now in Jesus Christ. And in the end, as we hear about from our scripture reading, that there will be an end, we will see that is the separation for those who believed and those who don't. But all men in this day have been given that gift. All men have had their sins forgiven. That's what the Scripture tells us. And now, we are raised to new life in Jesus Christ. And in that new life, we are given a calling. That repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Now here it is again. We, now as His body, the body of believers, are to bring this proclamation of repentance. Repentance meaning a couple different things. A sorrow for sin. A wanting to change. An understanding and changing of who we feel God is. And then the proclamation that we are forgiven. That Jesus Christ went to that cross and shed His blood for the sin of the world, but also for each one of us individually, and that all people would come to understand that it is for them individually. And it started at Jerusalem for the Jews, and it's for all nations. And when you look at that coming out of the Greek, it means all people. Despite who they may look like, despite the fact that they may not like us or don't look like us. But this is for all human beings. It is a gift that is given to all of us. And it is not one of condemnation, but one of hope, one of life. And then he goes on to say, you are witnesses of these things. Now he's talking to his disciples, but he is also talking to us. Because we now, by faith, also are witnesses of these things. We are called to bring this message, to proclaim this repentance, proclaim the forgiveness of sins, to proclaim God as He truly is, and who He has demonstrated Himself to be for us. One of love, forgiveness. One of mercy and grace. And he also tells us that we don't have to do this on our own. Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. You see, He doesn't leave us to have to do these things by our own power and our own merit and by our own strength. He gives to His body, individuals, the power of the Holy Spirit that we no longer have to worry about our own strength, but that we can rely upon Him to work in and through us. And see, this is the hard part. Because we kind of think, well, and I heard this today in the adult class, well, we're not really worthy of doing that. We have a hard time with that. We're not quite strong enough. That's a lie. It's a lie perpetrated by Satan himself to get us not to realize the power that we have. We have God Himself living within us. We are certainly worthy, we certainly have the power to go out and proclaim that people are forgiven from their sinfulness. And this is the thing that changes lives. When people understand that they are forgiven, despite who they are, despite the sins that they've committed, despite the thoughts that they have in their head, that God knows them intimately enough to forgive them despite all those things. Just as He knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin and still created them, He knew we were going to sin and He created us. And then He sent His Son to wash away all of those sins. We have the power to proclaim that. Because we have been given the Holy Spirit. And we are loved with that kind of everlasting love. And so we are to go to all nations and proclaim this forgiveness. But do you know what He really asks of us? That we go to our neighbor. He doesn't ask all of us to go all over the world and be missionaries. What Jesus tells us is love your neighbor. You don't have to traipse all over the world. Because if each person goes to their neighbor and loves them and serves them and proclaims the forgiveness of sins to them as they have opportunity, the world will be changed. because the power of God is working through us. Through us corporately, through us as individuals. To bring this message of repentance and forgiveness of sin to all nations, to all people. And for us, it's to bring it to our neighbor. And as he goes out, he leads them out as far as Bethany, and he lifts up his hands and he blesses them. He gives them his blessing. Now you go out and bring this message to all those people. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And you see, he left physically. But again, he didn't leave us powerless. He gave us something much greater. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that each and every one of us as believers could be motivated and driven by the power of God from within. He truly did bless us. Each and every Sunday morning, I am up here and I bring the benediction. That's not me bringing that benediction. That's the power of God bringing that benediction and blessing you and us as a congregation that we would now step out and bring this message. The ascension was for us. So that only that there couldn't only be 1,000 people around Jesus and the rest of us wouldn't hear. We now have God speaking through each and every believer. So each and every one of us has the ability and the power and the command to go out and proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And this is your calling. And now we will bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you would continue to work in and through us as a body. That we would bring this message to the nations. But first of all, starting with our neighbor. That they too are forgiven of their sin through your Son's blood. Father, work in and through this body that we would be messengers, that we would understand that we have the power by your Holy Spirit to go out and to forgive and to help people understand that they are loved by the same God in which we are loved by. Father, bless us. Help us to understand that blessing that you've given to us. And help us to spread it. Not only today, but each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.